Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this isn't obvious now. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
He's up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone, and a warm welcome along to the midweek edition of the Punt podcast. We're looking ahead to the European football this week. Four games to preview in the Champions League. We're also going to take a look at Arsenal's trip to AC Milan in the Europa League. A real tasty tie coming up there alongside the Champions League matches. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and joining me this week to preview all the games on punditing duties, Mr. Dave Kellner. The weather's improving, European football midweek, and I get to listen to you, Dave. It's all coming up, Sam, at the moment.
Two out of three ain't bad, as they say. It should be a good week of football, actually, shouldn't it? We've got the Champions League, those Europa League matches as well, and then moving into the weekend, we've got good Premier League action. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm happy to be back on the Punt podcast. I've missed a couple back-to-back of the weekend editions. It's a treat for me to be in your company on the midweek edition of the Punt.
I gather Alex Stern's not been looking after your nap very well either.
He's been poor, to say the least. I was critical of him when he came out and said what his nap was for the weekend edition. It lost. Admittedly, the week before that, I think he'd napped Burnley and Southampton equalised in the 90th minute of that game. So that was maybe a tad unfortunate. But he couldn't do too much damage as far as that nap stable is concerned this season. He's kept up the consistency at least.
bit like drilling a hole in the floor of the Grand Canyon. It's not really going to make a difference. I bring up the naps because ask me how my nap went to the weekend.
Oh, did it win?
Yes.
I thought it must have.
Yeah.
What was that?
Juventus and under 2.5 goals. That old reliable Italian lifeline. It was a very late goal as well, which went my way, but. Yeah,
we'll talk about them shortly, won't we?
We will. I was going to bring it up at the time, but I was so excited. I had to get it in now before we even move on to the Juventus game. We'll start our round of the matches this week with Liverpool, who take on Porto coming up on Tuesday night, 7:45 kickoff at Anfield. 8-15 for Liverpool to win this one in 90 minutes. 16-5 about the draw. 11-2 for Porto. We've got enhanced odds on this match as well. Liverpool to win both halves was 23-10. It's now 11-4. And Liverpool to win with four or more goals in the match was 5-2. And that's gone out to 3-1 now. The two qualified prices see Liverpool as 1,000-1 on shots for qualification. Porto 50-1 because the first leg was a demolition job as far as Liverpool are concerned. They went to Portugal and came back with a convincing 5-0 victory. And this looks an even tougher task for Porto, who don't have a great record against English sides. It's even poorer, their record in England. Liverpool have put the tie to bed. The only glimmer of hope for potential Porto backers is that Liverpool may be inclined to play a slightly rested team here, given that this tie is, well, it's completely done after the first leg.
And they've got a big game at the weekend, taking on Manchester United at Old Trafford on Saturday afternoon. You mentioned Porto's poor away record against English clubs. It is disastrous, really. They've never won a Champions League away game against an English side.
Right.
They've drawn 2 and lost 10 of their 12 trips to England. So that is pretty dismal. And I know their form has picked up since that demolition against Liverpool in Portugal. They've won 4 games subsequently, scoring plenty of goals in the Portuguese league. The 5 points clear of Benfica. But I think we saw the chasm between the two leagues in that first leg. And I wouldn't expect Liverpool to ease up at all. I think they'll go for the jugular early. He might make some changes, Jurgen Klopp, looking towards the game against Manchester United, but I think those changes might be made in the second half, and he'll go strong in the outset. So I expect Liverpool to be ahead at half time and win the game. And that's currently available at 6-5 here with William Hill. Liverpool are starting to look more solid defensively as well.
Yes.
Lloris Karius had a good game at the weekend. He made a critical save late on in that 2-0 victory against Newcastle, when Newcastle offered little to no threat. And they've kept three clean sheets in the last four matches now, having kept a clean sheet away at St Mary's against Southampton, then that one against Newcastle with the game against Porto sandwiched in between. And I think James Milner typifies how this side is playing at the moment at Liverpool. Lots of unsung heroes in there, the likes of Roberto Firmino, who's having a terrific season. And you look at Milner's statistics for this Champions League campaign, he's had six assists, which is more than any other player in the competition so far. So I expect Liverpool to win this comprehensively. I think Virgil van Dijk is starting to assert his influence now as well. He will become talismanic for Liverpool as far as their defensive capabilities are concerned. So I think Liverpool win this game and win it comprehensively. I'm looking at Liverpool -1 on the match handicap, which is odds against as well, at 5-4. But I expect them to start quickly.
Mm. Could be a Liverpool cruise to victory in this one. And as you rightly point out there, they've been blowing hot and cold all season. It's not a word that I would have wanted to associate with Liverpool for the last few years, but might even have to whisper it, consistency of late, Dave, which is creeping into their game, and it will be very welcome to Liverpool fans, because that's something that you just have not been able to say about Liverpool for a few seasons now.
I think we're seeing their performances improve week on week on week at the moment, which bodes well for the football club and for their fans as well. As you made mention of, they've lacked consistency this season, but I think they're starting to get to a point now where they can produce week in, week out, Liverpool. And Porto have some injury concerns as well. Tiquinho, Marega and Telles all missed their 2-1 win against Sporting Club on Friday night. They're uncertain to be in the lineup here. And Porto will know this game has gone as well. And they are looking to consolidate their position at the top of the Portuguese top flight. So why should they field a full strength side if there's players lacking in fitness? There's no real necessity for Porto to risk further injury in a game that's done and dusted from a tie perspective. So Liverpool 8-15 I think is fair. And I've not been to a massive Champions League night at Anfield, but I've talked to many football reporters on the FWA that have on the podcast from the FWA, and they've said that it's unlike any other atmosphere in the English league, Anfield, on a big Champions League night. So the fans will be behind them. They're flying at the moment, Liverpool, and I think they'll win this comfortably.
Could be a comprehensive Liverpool win then. Don't forget, this is a hashtag your odds game. If you fancy something that isn't already priced up on the console, you can tweet at William Hill and our traders will do their very best to price it up for you. On to a game that is a little bit closer on Tuesday night, certainly in terms of the tie. And this is Paris Saint-Germain taking on Real Madrid. PSG even money here. The draw 14-5. Real Madrid available at 13-5. Got enhanced odds offers on this one as well. The to qualify market here sees PSG at 5-2. Real Madrid are 7-2 on. The Spanish side bringing a 3-1 advantage on aggregate into this game. PSG, through a lack of concentration almost, really threw away what was a very promising position, conceding two goals late on to eventually lose that game 3-1. Both came in the final 10 minutes. They've got an all-important away goal, which could be massive for them. Real Madrid have probably only got the Champions League on their mind now. It's been a poor season for them. That's been well documented. The top position in the top two looks unlikely, and it looks as though they're going to finish third or fourth now. So it'll be all eggs very much in the Champions League basket from a Real Madrid perspective. PSG a mile clear at the top of Ligue 1, so their focus will obviously be on this competition as well. I think it's finally poised after that first leg. Would have been even better if it was 2-1 after the first leg, but a crucial away goal for PSG.
We've seen plenty of cash for PSG as well here with William Hill in the lead up to this match. And that's understandable given their home record is fantastic in this competition. They've lost only one of their last 46 home games in Europe. They've won 30 of those. They have drawn 15. Their only defeat came against Barcelona in that spell. They were beaten by Barca 3-1 back in April 2015. There's an intriguing stat that all these stats that I come up with on this podcast got to attribute these to Opta. These are Opta statistics, and there's some belters ahead of the midweek matches. This one in particular, a third of the teams to have lost 3-1 away from home in the first leg of a Champions League knockout tie have gone on to progress through to the next round.
Really?
Which makes 5-2 maybe a little bit of value, just a little bit of value. Yeah. That includes three of the last four. So three of the last four teams that have lost that away leg in the first leg, 3-1, have gone on to qualify for the next stage of the competition, which I think is incredible, really. You wouldn't expect it to be that high a percentage. I wouldn't have anywhere.
Definitely not. I suppose nowadays in the modern game, especially with the attacking riches that a lot of these sides have got on offer, 3-1 deficit, it isn't unassailable anymore, as the stats rightly allude to.
And I think against a team like Real Madrid, there's cause for optimism there for Paris Saint-Germain, even though they are without Neymar. I think if Neymar was involved, he's such a significant part of this Paris Saint-Germain team that he would... I think those odds would change drastically if he was available. I think you'd be looking at Paris Saint-Germain around about 15-8 to qualify. I think that's how big a factor Neymar is. And there's a doubt about Kylian Mbappe as well.
Okay.
He's got a knee problem, so he will have to pass a late fitness test to be involved here as well. So those are two negatives with Paris Saint-Germain. The positives are that... Zinedine Zidane was without Toni Kroos and Luka Modric for their win on Saturday against Getafe, won that game 3-1. Without those two players, they look like they are vulnerable in midfield as well, Real Madrid. So that's a positive for PSG. Real Madrid have got a terrific record in this competition, obviously looking for the hat-trick. Mm. And they've reached the semi-finals in each of the last seven Champions League campaigns as well, which is a record run in the competition. And you've got to talk about that man, Ronaldo.
Yep.
He's got 21 goals in his last 12 appearances in the Champions League, which is simply phenomenal. I've talked on this podcast before about how he's remodeled himself. He knows that his legs can't do the work for him anymore. He's still sharp of mind, but the legs can't carry him. So he has completely... He's completely changed the way he approaches the game, and he's that typical number nine, that English centre forward now, who is a poacher, a goal scorer, but not necessarily a creator or a worker anymore. But he has to be worth a look in the goal scorer markets if you fancy him to get on the score sheet, 5-6 to score anytime.
Yeah.
Given he's scored in his last six Champions League games, 21-12, that looks fair at 5-6. I fancy Paris Saint-Germain to win this game and both teams to score in the match at 15-8. I'm half tempted to go with Paris Saint-Germain to qualify at 5-2, but given Neymar is an absentee, that tempers my enthusiasm. Paris Saint-Germain to win this game by 3-1 and take this one into extra time, 12-1. I like that a lot.
PSG then to win the match and both teams get on the score sheet is available at 15-8. And as Dave was saying there, 3-1 for Paris Saint-Germain on the correct scoreline is 12-1. Let's go on to Wednesday night's matches now. And we'll start with the most intriguing tie of the round, really. Spurs taking on Juventus at Wembley. Spurs are 6-5 here. The draw is 23-10 and Juve priced up at 5-2. However, the to qualify odds paint a much more clear-cut picture here. 4-11 for Spurs to progress. Juve are in the betting at 2-1. And it very much is advantage Spurs here. 2-0 down after 9 minutes in Turin to get back and draw that game 2-2 with a couple of away goals to boot. That was massive for Spurs, and they'll have come away from that game full of confidence. Juve will have come away from that game livid with themselves for not pressing home that early advantage. And it does look advantage Spurs here massively, even though they've got the away goal, obviously, so they are slightly ahead. The fact they are as short as they are in the to qualify market just shows how vital those two goals were.
Yeah, and you've got an advantage here as well because you watched the first leg.
Yes,
and
it's the only one I managed to see.
I read the reports on the first leg, but apparently I think Spurs, from what I read, surprised Juventus with their approach they adopted in that game. Quick to every ball, pressed them high up the field, and I think Juventus were caught unaware. And Spurs, Dominated large parts of that game, didn't they?
By far and away the better team, I think, over the 90 minutes. It's hard to say when you go 2-0 down after 9 minutes, but they were pretty much the best team for the whole game.
And that doesn't really even mark their arrival onto the European scene, Spurs, because they were so good in the group stages this competition. They clearly have a wonderful team. We've seen that in the Premier League, but a team that I think is suited to European style football as well. And here's a stat as well. We talked about the stat ahead of the Real Madrid PSG match. 10 of the 12 teams to have drawn 2-2 in the away leg of a knockout Champions League tie have progressed. So 10 of 12, yeah. That bodes particularly well for Tottenham Hotspur in this game. They've put to bed that Wembley hoodoo as well. They've won their last 4 games at Wembley in the Champions League. That's their longest, in inverted commas, home run in the competition. They've also scored exactly 3 goals in each of those games as well.
Right.
They've only kept 1 clean sheet in 6 Champions League games at Wembley. I think this will be a fantastic encounter. Can see it being wide open because Juventus know they need to go there and score goals, and Spurs have an incredible array of talent. Harry Kane is 19-20 to score any time. Surely a chance for Harry Kane to score once again in this game. He's been involved in 53% of Spurs' goals in the Champions League this season, scored 7 and assisted 2 of the 17 they've scored in the competition. He's also reached 9 already. He's the fastest player ever to reach 9 goals in Champions League history. So I'm going with a Spurs win. I think they'll get the job done, but I think both teams will score in the game. So 17-5 for Spurs to win this match and both teams to score looks a good bet. And I do like Harry Kane to score in the match at 19-20 as well. And I'd play Harry Kane to score first in the game at 3-1.
Okay. Spurs win then with Harry Kane on the score sheet. 19-20 to score anytime, 3-1 first and last, and 9-2 or more 25s if you fancy the hat trick. It is interesting you mentioned there that. That school of thought about Spurs being vulnerable at Wembley seems ancient history now.
It
seems bizarre that anybody ever put that forward as a theory at any stage.
Yeah, I think they've been fantastic this season. Yeah. For the majority of the season, Mauricio Pochettino, I think they're going to get top four now, given that Chelsea have completely gone off the rails in recent weeks. They're just a very, very good side. Heung-min Son has been a revelation this season. I think if you take Harry Kane out of that Spurs side, he has been the next best player. Heung-min Son and Moussa Dembele, who I think is just phenomenal. He's a powerhouse in central midfield. But yeah, those two have been really impressive this season.
On to the final Champions League game this week then. And this is another tie that's pretty much done and dusted in the English side's favour. Manchester City 1-7 to get the better of Basel. It's 15-2 for the draw. Basel priced up at 20-1. Manchester City, much like Liverpool, got the job done in the away leg. They were 4-0 victors in that away leg. And 1-7... reflective of their chances here. It's going to be a massive uphill struggle for Basel. Again, we could see a potentially weakened Manchester City side, although regardless of the competition this season, Pep Guardiola has been reluctant to completely water down his side. Mm. So in all likelihood, there'll still be a smattering of first-team players in this side, and it's very hard to make a case for Basel, who aren't even really excelling in their domestic league this season as they would do normally.
No, they've been poor. I mean, they are now 14 points, got a couple of games in hand on Young Boys, but they're 14 points behind the league leaders. They've lost the last 3, lost in the Cup to Young Boys at the weekend, and lost in the Super League the game before that against St Gallen at home. So this is a Basel side that have been abject, not just in the first leg, but in league football at the moment as well. And it's an interesting point you make about Pep Guardiola being seemingly reluctant to water his side down, I think was the line you used. And we talked for years about squad rotation and how it's important to rotate your team to compete on 4 fronts, like Manchester City have this season. Guardiola's almost... he's almost put the death knell to that, because they've basically played their strongest 11 week in, week out, midweek, League Cup, FA Cup, doesn't matter what competition. Yeah, he's made a few changes, but Sergio Aguero, in the absence of Gabriel Jesus has been an ever-present. Kevin De Bruyne, he's titanium, man, isn't he, basically? He never misses a match. He's just fantastic. Manchester City have been superb. They've stuck the sword into Arsenal in successive games. First in that Carabao Cup final. Then you thought, ah, well, maybe Arsenal will perform better at the Emirates, given their home form. They walloped them 3-0. And that game against Chelsea... Chelsea never laid a glove on Manchester City. They were walking around the pitch. Again, if you watch that game on Sky Sports, Gary Neville was particularly critical of Chelsea's approach and how they seemed like they didn't even want to go forward when they grabbed possession. So Manchester City will win this game, in my opinion. And I think you've got to be looking at informed players here, and I think there's a good bet on Bernardo Silva to score at even money at any time. I think if they are going to maybe make a few changes, he was the guy that before Raheem Sterling got injured was on the fringes. Raheem Sterling is nearing full fitness again, so you'd maybe expect Bernardo Silva to drop out when Sterling comes back. Until then, he will get game time, in my opinion. You saw how quickly he got in at the back post for David Silva's whip ball across, caught Marcus Alonso sleeping at the back post, scored in that game, scored in the 3-0 win against Arsenal in the Premier League as well. So he scored in his last two now, Bernardo Silva, and I think he'll score again here. He's even money to score any time in the match, which I think looks good. And the other guy that's got a good record and scored in the first leg away from home against Basel, got a couple in that match, İlkay Gundogan, who maybe play in a more advanced role if Yaya Toure comes in and gets a start for Guardiola, which could be likely. I've read reports that he's going to come in, Yaya Toure, for a rare start. So Gundogan might play further upfield. 14-5 could look good for him to score any time. You're looking away from the obvious, given Manchester City are such a prohibitive price at 1-7.
Bernardo Silva then in the betting at even money to score any time. And that 14-5, I like that about İlkay Gundogan, a man that scored a brace in the first leg. Looks a big price at 14-5, particularly if he plays in an advanced role. It's another game where we're looking around to try and find a Manchester City bet and try and get some value out of the game, given that they are such a skinny price.
Couple of other points to be made as well. City unbeaten at home this season. They won't want to lose that title. They've scored 61 goals in 18 wins.
Blimey.
Which is just incredible, which is ominous for Basel, obviously. And Guardiola's got, I think, unfinished business with this competition as well. He's won it a couple of times as a manager in 2009 and 2011 when with Barca, and a third win in this competition would equal the records of Carlo Ancelotti and Bob Paisley. But he's made the semi-finals in 7 of his 8 previous seasons as a manager. Hasn't made the final since 2011.
Okay.
He'll have that on his mind, I think, Guardiola.
Okay. Interesting stuff. That's the Champions League wrapped up this week. We're going to take a look at the final remaining British hope in the Europa League. Arsenal have got a trip to the San Siro to take on AC Milan on Thursday night. 6 o'clock kickoff here. 21-20 for Milan, 9-4 the draw. Arsenal are 11-4. This is by far and away the tie of the round as far as the Europa League goes. There are still a few good sides left in it, and two of them have drawn each other here. Arsenal, we know about the struggles that they're having at present, Dave. It seems to go from bad to worse for Arsenal. They were beaten in the previous round, the second leg of this competition, by Östersund. They'd already wrapped up the tie, or thought they had it wrapped up anyway, after the first leg. Disappointing regardless to lose the second leg. Manchester City have come and beat them twice. They lost again at the weekend to Brighton. The season is really beginning to unravel for Arsenal. The focus now will have to be on this competition. Milan themselves have not had the greatest season in Serie A, given the money they spent in the summer. They'll have definitely been expecting to be competing for the title. They're beginning to pick up again of late, and it looks as though a place back in Europe is not off the cards for them. But two sides who will definitely be focusing on this, and two sides who really, this competition is their only route into the Champions League next year.
Yeah, can I just pick you up on one thing you mentioned there?
Yes.
You said one or two good sides still left in the competition, and two of them go head-to-head here. I only see one good side, even on paper here, because Arsenal are not a good footballing side anymore.
I meant in comparison to Victoria Pilsen or Salzburg. Not to be too disrespectful to those sides. A big name then, if not if not a good footballing side anymore.
A big name, but a name living on past history here.
Perhaps, yeah.
And a man in the dugout that's definitely living on past successes in Arsene Wenger. I think I saw a press release from Joe Crilly, our football man, and he was saying that there's been a lot of cash for Wenger to leave in the summer, and I think he will get until the summer at least. He's 1-2 to still be at Arsenal at the end of the season. I think that's actually a good 1-2 shot,
right?
Because what more has to happen for him to leave? If he was going to go, he'd go, wouldn't he? I mean, they've lost four straight. That loss against Brighton was embarrassing at the weekend. The two games against City, particularly the first one, the cup final, I couldn't believe how bad they were in that game, because City didn't really have to come out of second gear. I didn't think City played well in that cup final, but Arsenal rolled over, had their tummies tickled, were beaten 3-0. And I think the players are culpable as well. It's not just about Arsene Wenger. They have supposed international superstars at that club on big money. The money shouldn't even matter, but they're on big wages and they're not performing. Mesut Ozil, he's just an embarrassment sometimes, can produce moments of magic, has that one game where you think, oh, this is Mesut Ozil, and maybe has a couple of games, has that purple patch, and then goes back to being decidedly average for weeks on end.
He's an expensive luxury to have at the moment, isn't he?
Absolutely. And he's got this new contract now as well, which means there's no incentive for him to perform. He's not in the shop window, in inverted commas, anymore either. So I think this is the biggest game, obviously, of Arsenal's season so far at this point, given they are sixth in the league. They're not going to qualify for the Champions League now. They're going to finish 30 points or whatever behind City, 40 points behind City in the Premier League. But I don't think they have the fortitude to go there and produce a performance against AC Milan. And at least AC Milan, even though they are seventh in Serie A after their incredibly disappointing start to the season, at least they've started to perform now, AC Milan. Whereas, I mean, their recent form makes them genuine contenders to win the Europa League. They've won five of their last six matches. They've progressed to the Coppa Italia final, having come through on penalties after that 0-0 draw against Lazio. They are on the upgrade, whereas Arsenal are at their lowest ebb at the moment. So I think AC Milan, I think they're a fantastic price to win this game. I can't believe the odds against at 21-20. I thought they'd be odds on to win this match against the Gunners. And I think Gennaro Gattuso has managed to get the best out of his defenders now. He's managed to eke out performances from Gianluigi Donnarumma, Leonardo Bonucci, and Alessio Romagnoli recently. So I think that they are looking good, AC Milan, and 21-20 is a good bet.
You could imagine, Zoe, he strikes me as the kind of man that you'd want to play for, Gattuso.
Yeah, precisely.
Or, you know, not scared into submission and having performances, but he's definitely a man who will demand certain types of performances week in, week out. And if those performances aren't delivered, you would find yourself out in the cold, I feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's more of a hardened character, isn't he, than Arsene Wenger?
Yes.
Yeah, and one man I think we've got to mention as well is Patrick Cotrone, who is 5-4 to score any time. He's got 14 in 22 starts. This is his first season for AC Milan. I think 5-4 for him to score any time, 4-1 for him to score first in the game, could be a decent way in.
It's a Milan victory, though, for Dave. They're 21-20 to progress in the Europa League coming up this week. Do you have a favourite bet of those that we've mentioned, DK?
No. Okay. I think I like them all equally. All equally.
They're not your children.
Yeah, I was just about to say, if I had children, they'd all be equals. Yeah, I like them all equally.
You strike me as someone who'd have a favourite child and be really open about which one was your favourite as well. Well, I can see a leaderboard in your kitchen.
My dad has always been like that, and I've always been towards the bottom of the pecking order.
Understandably, so
I like all these bets equally.
Okay,
and hopefully they'll all win.
Good stuff. Thanks for that. Do remember to tune into William Hill's In-Play Radio during the course of the week, where you'll hear experts' opinion and all the best in-play betting angles on all of the football that we've got coming up, and check out the betting on the William Hill website. Thanks for that, Dave, and enjoy it midweek.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.